Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Glow Girl. This is episode 98 of Glow Girl, a weekly podcast where we talk about woo and wellness and making our way in this wild world. I'm Tracy White, as always. And when I said this was episode 98, what I meant to say was Mercury retrograde 8, episode 98. This has been probably the worst Mercury retrograde I've ever been through. It's super fun. So what I have for you today instead is a look back at an episode that we recorded actually in February of 2020 before the world broke loose with COVID. This episode was called Charging Your Spiritual Batteries. And after last week's episode here about spiritual fatigue, this felt like a good fit. So we're going to look back at this episode. There's a lot of good information about kind of how to get back into fighting form when you feel like you're just depleted spiritually. We have a guest in this episode, friend of the pod, Emily. And Emily and I also get to talk about love in the stars and astrological compatibility, which is always a fun topic. So definitely stick around for this conversation. This is a fun episode with a lot of really good information. And I will be back with you next week with new content, episode 99 of Glow Girl next week, coming up on that 100th episode. So thank you guys all for tuning in. I will see you all here again next week and enjoy the episode Charging Your Spiritual Batteries. Happy Wednesday and welcome back to Glow Girl. I'm Tracy White. I'm here today with friend of the Girls Girls Media Multiverse, Emily Tesno. If you listen to the Atta Girl podcast on Mondays, which you should be, you heard Emily on a recent episode, and she's here with me today because we are just a couple of little woo nerd peas in a pod, right?
That's right.
All right. Emily, tell me a little bit about what's your spiritual background?
Like, oh God.
Your woo background. How'd you come here? How'd you get here?
Jeez, heavy hitter.
Right. Tell me everything.
I mean, I was brought up in the church, like a pretty strict Christian household. And I think I smuggled my first tarot deck home when I was like 13.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I bought it like with my own money at like a Barnes and Noble and brought that home and started like poring over it. And I kind of walked away from it for a while and then got really back into tarot and astrology and all of that. Right around the time that my second daughter was born,
mm-hmm.
My cousin is super into all the things woo.
What is it about having children that makes us like question the universe?
Yeah, for real. Well, I needed like some severe parenting help. Yeah. She talked to me about a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. Astrology wise, her boyfriend was an astrologist and then I just kind of fell back into it and didn't look back.
Awesome. Yeah, that sounds very familiar, actually. So back at the beginning of the year, we decided here at Glow Girl that our focus was going to be wellness. And we've talked about a lot in 2020 already, but one important topic that we haven't discussed quite yet this year is staying well, like energetically and spiritually. So after the break today, we're going to have a conversation about all the things that drain your spiritual batteries, which is just about everything these days, it seems like. And also some practices you can use to preserve and recharge them so you can kind of get yourself back up to where you need to be, get your spiritual wellness in order. Before we get into that, though, because Valentine's Day just passed and Pisces season is here and it feels like people are just like kind of looking for love in all the wrong places, I want to talk a little bit about a topic that I keep seeing everywhere on social media lately. That is astrological compatibility. Now, if you are a member of our Girls Girls group online, you have probably seen people asking about astrological compatibility lately. It just keeps coming up everywhere.
Yeah.
People are asking, you know, what do you think about, do you think I'm compatible with this sun sign? Do you think I'm compatible with this person based on our charts and everything? And I've actually also seen a lot of dating apps, which I'm way out of the loop on, but I have read some things. Dating apps and sites are now offering the option to search based on your sun sign or to limit your matches to only those people who match certain astrological criteria, which I think is interesting.
Yeah, I mean,
But also, I kind of think it's a bad idea.
I agree.
Okay. I kind of thought you might, but so we talked about this just a little, a couple shows ago too, but trying to figure out if you're compatible with somebody based on you and your potential partner's sun sign is just kind of, I mean, it's not smart because your sun sign is important, sure, but it's only a small part of your overall chart, which is only a small part of your overall personality, which is only a small part of who you are really overall as a person, right?
Agreed.
So if you say that you only want to date, you know, Libras, that's kind of like saying that because your favorite color is red, you only want to date someone whose favorite color is also a primary color. It's just like limiting for no reason.
Yes, I think it's extremely limiting.
Yeah.
But everyone should date Libras because we are bomb.
I mean, I do agree with that. You can't really go wrong with a Libra. I think they work with everybody. People are complex, right? And so even our full birth charts analyzed by master astrologers can't tell you all of a person's experiences and traumas and neuroses. So if you think you can just search like anything but Geminis on Match.com or whatever the youths are using these days, it's not going to cut out all the psychos. Plus, you might miss out on a pretty spectacular Gemini too. So I would say that sun sign limitations like that are not going to help you out in the dating game if that's where you're at in life.
I totally agree.
So you're married. I'm married too. Are you and your husband compatible on paper based on what?
We are, actually.
Okay.
However... In real life, we don't have a lot in common.
Mm-hmm.
He's a sun Virgo, which is, I mean, my moon is in Virgo and my Venus is in Virgo. Mm-hmm. So I do think that I am attracted to that stereotypical
type. It speaks
type.
To you.
And his Venus is in Libra.
Okay.
Which is my sun sign. So we are supposedly extremely compatible.
Yeah, you
on
have
paper.
Some textbook compatibility. Yeah.
But we also mm-hmm. have huge major differences mm-hmm. in our personalities and the way that we think and we process emotions and all of that. So, I mean, just because we're compatible on paper does not mean that we never fight. I mean, mm-hmm. we got together really young and now we have 4 kids. So it's, I mean, he's stuck with me regardless.
He's not going anywhere.
Yeah. But I mean, there's a lot of big differences in us that we didn't realize we had when we were 18 that we have now at 35, you know, mm-hmm. 34, 35, that could definitely break a couple.
Sure.
So I don't, I wouldn't just go off of the astrology compatibility.
Agreed. I mean, Mike and I have, I guess we're technically compatible per a lot of books and online compatibility calculators. He's a Leo and I'm a Sagittarius. When you look a little bit more closely at our charts, though, there's a lot wrong there, according to traditional sources.
Right.
But, wouldn't you know it? I mean, we still work, which is, that's weird. How did that happen? So I guess, and there are a ton of celebrity couples that shouldn't work too, and that are still together, and a lot that should work, but just didn't work out in the long run. So Barack Obama and Michelle Obama he's a Leo and she's a Capricorn. That shouldn't work according to most. Yeah. But I mean,
but they're perfect.
They're perfect. So Neil Patrick Harris and his husband, David Burtka, they're both Geminis. That shouldn't work.
No, that shouldn't work.
That should be a garbage fire.
I agree.
But I mean, they're adorable, right?
Yeah, they're super cute.
Ellen DeGeneres and Portia de Rossi are both Aquarians.
Ugh.
That should be real bad.
Yeah.
No, but that works. I mean, there's a lot of celebrity couples out there that are absolutely perfect. Harry and Meghan, she's a Leo, he's a Virgo.
I'm obsessed with them.
Me too. We should be obsessed with them. I love them. But they shouldn't work on paper, but they do for more reasons than just astrology. So comparing sun signs just isn't very accurate, as I think we've determined. But if we want to dig deeper into that, there is another way. So there's a system of astrology. A lot of people who are just kind of coming into woo and kind of just starting to learn about astrology have never heard of it, but it's called synastry. Using synastry, a master astrologer can compare your chart with a potential partner's. They lay them on top of each other and kind of next to each other to see what placements on the charts interact with each other. And they can determine compatibility, strengths, and areas of weakness on your chart with a potential partner's. It's really interesting stuff. So you can see the aspects between your planets and his planets and kind of how things interact and work out. That is very advanced astrology work.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be able to do
that. No, that is not something, that is not something that you should go to any kind of amateur for. If you're looking for that kind of work, you need to look for a professional. They can also help determine the best time for like important dates in a relationship, like getting engaged or married, going on big vacations or starting a family, based on putting those two charts together and looking at your whole relationship.
That's so interesting. I've never heard of that actually.
Yeah, it's a very cool thing. I've never done it. I'm afraid to do it because I don't want to learn anything that's gonna, you know, like I don't want to look at my husband the wrong way.
Right.
You know, and be like, I know this thing now and I can't unknow it. So I'd rather just not know.
Right.
The mystery. Let's keep that mystery alive. If you're just kind of playing around with astrology and not making like life-altering decisions about your future based on the stars, then there's a couple of less complicated ways to compare your chart with the potential mates, which we touched on just a little bit. So you can look at your moons and see your moon is kind of how you receive and express emotion. So seeing how another person might relate to their emotional selves can help you better understand what a person will be like in a more intimate relationship in the future. So if you look at I have a Libra moon, air moon, and an air house. I'm pretty robotic when it comes to that. I'm very detached emotionally as a person. So my husband has a Virgo moon. He's an earth moon. So he's pretty steadfast. He's not all over the place. So even though we're both fire signs, we're both very steady in our ways, in our emotional ways. And right. So that evens us out and kind of helps that work, I think.
Yeah.
So you can look at those moons. You can also look at your Venus and Mars placements. For the purposes of astrology, I'm kind of referring to the binary masculine and feminine gender assumptions here, but you can use this information however it suits your relationship. Venus is traditionally the feminine and Mars is the masculine. So in a relationship with a clear masculine feminine dynamic, if you're looking to see like how the feminine Venus in one chart and the masculine male in the other relate to each other, that can be telling of the relationship dynamic overall too.
Did you know that my moon, Mars, and Venus are all in Virgo?
Wow.
What's wrong with me?
Nothing's wrong with you. You got a nice little stellium there. I like it. I love Virgos. I draw Virgos into my life because I need that steadiness.
Well, and on paper, I don't like a stereotypical Virgo, like what they stand for. I'm just not like that organized, like steady person.
Sure.
But my husband's a sun Virgo.
You understand it.
And a lot of my best friends are Virgos. So apparently I do like that energy, but
yeah.
Yeah, super interesting.
It's interesting how those can work out. But if you look, like I said, you can look at that just to kind of get an idea. I think there are some astrologers out there who use people's charts to really predict their future. But in my opinion, astrology is more storytelling than fortune telling, right?
I agree.
So if my best friend asked me to compare her chart with a guy she was about to go on a first date with, I would say no, because first of all, I'm not a professional. And secondly, it just doesn't matter, right?
Right.
Because astrology is fun and it can be an incredibly insightful tool for guidance and understanding in our lives, but there's so much more than just our stars. So go on the date, find out if you have physical compatibility. His chart is not going to tell you that he's like a red hat wearing patriot or that his favorite food is Thai noodles with peanut sauce. And your chart is not going to tell him that you have a life-threatening peanut allergy and an Eat the Rich bumper sticker on your Prius.
Right.
That shit's not in your stars. So like, compatibility is complicated. You need to find out if you have physical chemistry. There's more that you need to know before you start looking at, you know, for red flags in somebody's birth chart.
For
so if you want some guidance when you've narrowed down your pool of potentials, get professional help from somebody who knows how to do synastry. But before you do that, just have fun and remember that some of the most beloved couples in history should never have worked out on paper. And some that look like they have textbook compatible synastry charts have definitely crashed and burned. So I guess what I'm saying is don't judge a book by its cover and don't throw out the whole dude just because he's a Gemini. Right?
I might.
Not all Geminis. Not all Geminis. Okay. So super quick rundown of this week's astrology. So as we know, Mercury is officially in retrograde until March 9th. If you're new here, just remember the Mercury retrograde rules. Don't be scared. Be prepared. Check and double check all the things that Mercury rules, like communications, travel plans, vehicle maintenance, and technology. Slow down. Like Mercury retrograde makes us have to slow down the things that are usually moving very quickly in our lives. So avoid.
I think that's why I always get screwed by Mercury retrograde, because I don't know how to go slow.
It's hard. It forces us to really stop and take a beat before we do things. Otherwise, we screw ourselves.
Yeah, I hate it. And I might be traveling.
I'm traveling.
Shit.
No, I know. We can't avoid doing all of the things that makes our lives happen, right?
True.
But what we can do is slow down and double check the details around it so that we don't have big problems, right? If you have to be traveling, double check your travel plans. Avoid signing contracts if you can help it. Don't make like big car or electronic purchases if possible. Mercury rules those things, and those things can kind of have a way of going bad after Mercury retrograde comes through. And then just remember that Mercury retrograde, especially in like a dopey romantic sign like Pisces that we're in right now, likes to bring people from the past back into your life, and not usually for good and not usually forever. So if you're in it for the hookup, go ahead and get your retrosexual on. But if you are looking to reconnect for the long haul, maybe just let it simmer until after March 9th before you go all in, because they're probably not sticking around.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Everybody's kind of just like sending that, hey, you up text message.
Yeah, we're going to get eggplants in the DMs.
For sure. Tons of eggplants. Oh, my God. So Pisces season officially started yesterday. So happy solar return to our wonderfully watery Pisces friends. We have a new moon in Pisces on Sunday the 23rd. And then last but not least, we also just saw Mars move into Capricorn last week, where he'll be spending time for the next 6 weeks. So I wanted to talk a little bit about this because there's a lot we can do with this transit. Mars joins a whole crew of other planets that are hanging out in Capricorn right now. And what that does is it makes this next 6 weeks pretty dynamic for getting shit done. So you might have felt a shift last weekend, like suddenly maybe a fog lifted. Maybe you were more motivated than you've been in quite a while. You're ready to take on projects that you've been putting off, and you'll light anyone on fire who gets in your way. Like, that's definitely Mars energy at work. Mars is the planet of fighting and fucking. Mars is assertive and kind of ready to go all the time. And when Mars is in Capricorn, his focus is very clear. So the Mars Cap energy is motivating and powerful. If we put in the work, we can accomplish, I mean, pretty much anything right now. Like, this is the work energy right now.
Like zaddy energy.
It is. That is exactly right. I hadn't thought about that. Let's pretend that Mars is Jeffrey Dean Morgan right now.
Ooh, I love him.
Yep. He's the zaddy of the week right now. In my life. So if we waste this energy, we'll feel it because we'll get restless, pissy, prone to picking fights and trolling social media posts. So don't be that guy. Use this energy to do something good and get some things done. If you spend a minute, because we're in Mercury retrograde, spend a minute making a list of the shit you've been wanting to accomplish in the next few weeks. You can make a list then of the steps that you need to take to get the shit done. So all you need to do really is just take the first step. Follow this energy and you can kind of ride that wave. This week's themes are really just stay busy with Mars, stay vigilant with Mercury, and stay healthy because it's gross in winter.
It is gross in winter, but mm-hmm. I actually really love winter. Okay. I think I'm like the only Ohio person that feels that way.
I feel like we really need it. Yeah. But and we haven't had enough of it here. I'm feeling a little global warmy.
Yes.
This year, and that freaks me out.
Same.
Yeah. So, okay, let's take a super quick break. I'm busy. You're busy. Life is crazy. We have moon cycles to track. We have crystals to charge. Self-care takes a backseat to survival most of the time around here. So it's no wonder that the last thing on our minds most of the time is taking a supplement. If you're anything like me, the things you enjoy are the things you make time for, and those are the things that become habits. That's why Teonan created a range of instant beverages packed with the benefits of 6 functional mushrooms. Yeah, I said mushrooms. These delicious drinks are made with potent fruiting body extracts and are not only a pleasure to consume, but provide a wide range of wellness benefits, including improvements to your immunity, gut health, energy, and mental clarity. They have 7 different flavors to choose from, and all their drinks are USDA organic, vegan, GMO-free, gluten-free, and sugar-free. If you are a morning coffee or tea consumer, or an afternoon latte pick-me-up consumer, or if you're just like me and you're looking for a way to get a little bit more nutrition in your day, the Teonan line has so many delicious benefits.
If you visit their website today at teonon.com and use the code GGP to get 15% off of your first purchase, you can experience some of their wellness benefits too. That's teonon.com, T-E-O-N-A-N.com, and use the code GGP. You can get 15% off your first purchase.
If you're listening to this podcast, chances are that you're on some kind of spiritual path. Maybe you're new to it. Maybe you've been doing this a long time. Maybe you're a refugee from organized religion like Emily and I. Maybe you're trying to find your way like a lot of us are. At the end of the day, we're all energetic beings, and interacting with the different energies out in the world has an impact on us mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. I don't know about you. For me, it feels like everywhere I turn, there's just like stimuli coming at me, right?
Yes. And I'm super easily overwhelmed and distracted, mm-hmm. like maybe undiagnosed ADD.
Same, a little bit. I'm starting to wonder that myself. We're a very stimulated, like instant gratification culture too. So we kind of expect it. And even though it's overwhelming to our senses, we just crave it, right?
Yes, I do. Yeah. I mean, there are a million and one things I could do to limit that for me, mm-hmm. but I choose not to.
Right. So. I'm addicted to it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be afraid to admit that. I feel bored without almost constant stimulation,
right.
which it feels like it might be a problem, right?
Yeah.
The problem, too, is that all of the stimulus that's out there that is just constantly coming at us and that we're throwing ourselves into can really just like drain us
yes.
completely, right? It's exhausting, it's depleting, and because we're addicted to the constant onslaught, we just keep kind of piling it on ourselves until we have nothing left but raw nerves and overwhelm and anxiety and depression.
Right.
Which is super fun.
Yeah, that feels right. I love that for us.
It's good times. So then, I don't know about you, but I just like try to soothe it away with, drinking, garbage food, Netflix binges, glassy-eyed scrolling all the way to the end of the internet, like just all my favorite things.
Yeah, I fill that void with all alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. None of these things are probably great for us.
No, that's so bad.
But, you know, this is what we do. It's just a constant cycle. I am super guilty of it. I do it probably a few times a week, maybe every day. some of that is probably happening every single day. And if you're someone who identifies as an empath, then what I'm describing is really just like a drop in the bucket, right?
Yes.
Larry, do you feel?
I do. I don't think it's to the point where I would walk around and be like, oh, I'm an empath, like straight up. But I do feel like I'm sensitive to other people's energies.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain people that I love dearly, but I can't physically be around for long periods of time,
mm-hmm.
because just their energy
drains
me.
Right, like an energy vampire.
Yeah.
I heard that term.
Yeah, and I don't think they mean to do it.
No, yeah.
You know?
I'm sure most people don't. I mean, they need a lot. And
right.
For someone who feels all of that strongly, I mean, it literally drains you as a person. So
yes, I have a child that's like that.
Oh boy.
One of my children.
You can't get away from that. Good luck.
I know.
Good luck with that. So how do we get to a point where we can live in a more balanced way in a world where the energetic give and take is just like completely unequal? How do we take control of our spiritual wellness when we're constantly getting messages like, hurry, hustle, accomplish, keep your vibe high, no rest for the wicked, sleep when you're dead. Have you heard of spiritual gaslighting?
I have, actually. And I had felt that way about a certain author.
Okay.
Before I heard that term. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what, like I had this feeling, but I didn't know what the word for it was.
Mm-hmm.
But I totally get that because I feel like there's so many people, especially in like the self-help community, that are like, well, if your life is shitty, it's because you have shitty thoughts or whatever. But uh-huh. like, I mean, medical diagnosed like mental illnesses, like that's not your fucking fault.
Right. Like, right.
You know, if you have an imbalance. And I think the idea that you can just positive think your way out of depression is mm-hmm. really dangerous and privileged, and it super annoys me.
I completely agree. We're a big proponent of, minding your vibrations here, but also taking your meds.
Right. Yeah. So, like there's a place for both.
There is. Yeah. And I know exactly what you mean. And I probably know an author or two that you're thinking of, because it is like almost like victim blaming. Like,
yes,
you know, how are we supposed to go out into a world that's just full of negative energy that's constantly being thrown at us? And we're supposed to just not let any of that impact us.
Just like roll off your back.
Right. And keep your vibe high.
It's your fault if you let it bother you. Or, you know, all these terrible things.
I got 35 crystals in my bra, man, and I'm still depressed.
Right. Yeah.
What do you, I mean, this doesn't feel right. So I don't know. That term spiritual gaslighting really spoke to me because I felt like, you know, what am I doing wrong? Why can't I? I'm an optimistic person.
Right.
Like, it's gross.
I mean, I'm really not.
So. I can rationalize anything. But yeah, spiritual gaslighting, I think, is definitely something that made me feel, I guess, seen a little bit, because I felt like I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it right. I wasn't, you know, I can't manifest correctly because I can't keep my vibe high enough, even though I'm probably the most disgustingly optimistic person I know a lot of the time. It's pretty gross. And still, it's not working for me because the world keeps happening.
Right.
You know, I mean, politics keep happening. Like,
yeah, I mean,
disasters keep happening.
I just don't watch the news. Like, I refuse to watch it now.
And that's one of the things, too. So finding balance, I guess, is going to feel really wrong at first, because we get all the messages ingrained into our minds about what's right and good and productive. And that's to constantly be moving, constantly be doing, constantly be absorbing and processing. And the truth is, though, I think if we don't kind of tend to our home fires a little bit, we're going to flare up and burn out.
Yeah,
which
that's
is a
definitely
constant,
true.
That's a cycle that I'm in.
Yeah, I do
weekly.
That a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's, for me, it's taken a long time to kind of break that cycle. And I fall back into it all the time. But I finally, at least I feel like I understand it better. And so I can see when it's happening. And I've started to be able to learn how to take some steps. So the first thing I think when we're trying to figure out how to protect our spiritual and like energetic wellness is first understand the stuff in the world that drains us.
Right.
Like, what is it that's, you know, that's draining us? Okay. So the things in the world that I guess I need to avoid that really drain me, like you said, the news is one of them. And not just like on TV, but news stories on social media are even worse, because then I can see the comments.
Right.
And then I can see like not just the what's happening on the news, which is kind of removed, but like
all the garbage people.
Right. Actual human people who live in my area. And news station comment sections are like this gross magnet that draws me in, and like it sucks my soul right out of my body, I swear. Yeah. Social expectation drains me too. Like, I feel like, and especially as women, I think we're kind of expected to look and speak and behave a certain way. I'm expected to have some kind of workout routine. I'm expected to have 8 different jobs, which I need to balance with being a wife and a mother effortlessly. I need to have a ravenous sex drive. I need to clean and cook for my family. I need to be fully present with my friends. I need to have date nights with my husband. I need to have some kind of spiritual practice. All of that. And I'm also supposed to apparently shower regularly and somehow not be like a disgusting swamp beast. So I don't, how are we supposed to do all of that? And so feeling all of that constantly just, it drains me to think about it. And then I do none of it.
Yeah.
Which is worse.
Yeah.
You know, the expectation just sucks the energy right out of me. So I don't even know how to start with that stuff. So I guess when I start feeling the pressure of like all the expectations, I get so defeated and it's just not healthy. And showers are good. Like, we should take showers.
Yeah, everybody should shower at least like a couple times a week, I would say.
You would think, right? Yeah. Some days it's hard to remind myself of that. So,
yeah, I mean, I definitely don't shower every day though.
Yeah, no.
Like, who has time for that?
Right. You got 4 kids, man. Like, how do you even,
I mean, they're all grown, like they're not grown ups. Right. I mean, I shouldn't say they're definitely not grown ups, but it does get easier. I mean, I feel like you're in the thick of it with just one, like at that age, you know what I mean? Like, my youngest is 6, my oldest is 13. So I just leave them home.
Yeah.
And well, there you I'm go. Like,
you
hey,
got, we got one old enough to watch the smaller ones.
Like, watch your kids.
Yeah.
Watch your kids. Watch your kids. Watch your siblings and don't let Henry burn the house down, and I'll be back later.
I like that. Man, so this is why people have more than one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, well,
I'm a Duggar, just built-in babysitters.
Gross. I'm addicted to that show also, which is another energetic drain on my life.
Oh, I don't watch it.
We'll talk more about that later.
Just know that they have 87 kids.
Don't worry, I'll get you caught up later after the show. Okay. So I guess, what are some of the things, aside from the news, that drain you?
My children's like extracurricular activities and all the expectations that are put on me for that. So my second daughter especially is in like literally every sport she can possibly be in.
Oh, why?
And then like on several teams of that sport. Like she had like two different basketball teams and like softball, and she has spring soccer and fall soccer and all of this stuff. So she is go, go, go all the time. And I never tell them no if it's something that we can afford, because she is a much better behaved child when she has that athletic outlet. It's really good for her. She is extremely good at all the sports too. So I don't want to tell her no, but I definitely get like the judgy side eye from a lot of the moms that are like stay at home moms when I ask for rides for my kid for practice, because they start practice like before I'm off work.
Right.
Sometimes. So just the mom judgment like that goes with the sports stuff is like a big trigger for like my anxiety and depletes me.
I get that. I mean, I feel like even in our lives and even on social media, it's like constant, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's comes too with just comparing ourselves to other people.
Right.
And that's a huge trigger for me. I can fall into that really easily. Like comparing, I should be more by this point in my life. I should be doing this. I should be, look at what they have. Why don't I have that?
Right.
I could have that if I didn't have this happening.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just a very.
And I think I forget too that like Instagram especially is the one that gets me the most, more than Facebook, with like the comparison game, is that it's like their highlight reel.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, I mean, I've done the like push a bunch of shit off of the couch and take a picture and then someone's like, oh my God, your house is so clean. But like, I literally live in a dumpster. So it's not, you know, they just don't know what's going on.
Right.
Behind. And
we all do that.
Everybody has their struggles.
Look, we all look for our angles.
Right.
Right.
Well, I'm like a literal photographer.
I know
the angles that I need.
I'm like, well, how can I take this picture so that I don't get that like chipped corner of paint on my wall?
Right.
In it. Like maybe I can just move my elbow a little bit and then it looks good. Okay. Right.
Yeah.
We all do it. So I get that. So I guess once we identify the things that deplete us, we can start to like deal with them. What can I avoid in my life? Right. So what I did is I unfollowed some of the news stations on social media. And I only watch like the local news, like while I'm making dinner, and then that's it. Like I try to set myself apart from some of that just because I just can't all the time, because it just kills me. So I also try to back away from messages that are dripping with unrealistic expectations and try to find ways to slow down. I not that I ever took a spin class, but, you know, I was looking more into like something that would literally slow me down, like yoga.
Yeah.
You know, something
I love
that
yoga.
Makes me focus inward more. I fell out of it and I need to get back to it. So that's something that I'm doing soon. Like we talked about comparing ourselves to others, I have to like sometimes actually physically say to myself, stop it,
right?
Because I'm doing it again, and what is this accomplishing for me? You know, literally nothing. It's just making everything worse. So once we have fewer drains on our energy, we can start taking like some preventative measures too, so we can drown less in the future,
right,
in some of this. So like I try to set realistic expectations, like for cooking. If I can cook two home cooked meals a week, then I feel pretty good about it.
Oh yeah, that's like I probably cook twice a week.
Yeah.
You know? My husband does a lot of the cooking though.
Yeah.
So he takes that off my plate.
Yeah. I wish that I could do more, but I can't I mean, I can't all the time. So I'm doing what I can, and I have a realistic expectation. So I don't compare myself to like even what I could be.
Right.
It, you know, it makes it a little bit easier. I also put post-its on my bathroom mirror to like remind myself of some things like that, like expectations that I have for myself that yeah. are realistic and just things I want myself to remember. I try to practice grounding myself in the morning and the evening. This does not happen. Too. It doesn't happen as much as it should. But if I've learned how to do it a little bit better, and even if it's just like a 2 minute breathing exercise, I can use that even like if things get chaotic when I'm out of the house.
Right.
Yeah. I can stop for 2 minutes pretty much anywhere unless I'm physically driving my car and, you know, focus my breathing and kind of come out better so that I don't spin out. So that has really helped me too. And then the other thing too is just like setting boundaries around what we value. So like I value time with my family, and that's like my top priority. Right. And so trying to figure out what those boundaries are that I need to put into place so that I can protect that, number one. And I've learned to, as much as I don't love it, because I'm a people pleaser, saying no does get easier the more you do it.
It totally does.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm not reformed at all, but I'm a reforming people pleaser. I've gotten a lot better at saying no
yeah.
than I ever used to be.
I think that comes with age too.
Yeah, I think so too.
We have fewer fucks to give now.
I give less shits.
Yeah. So then once we have like some protections in place, we can start to actually recharge our spiritual batteries. And so this is what I really wanted to talk about. Finding something that brings you joy, right? So like maybe it's cat videos. I don't know. Maybe it's making friends with the squirrel that lives in your yard.
I'm so jealous of your squirrel relationship. Just rub it in my face.
Oh, Blueberry.
I want a squirrel.
He's so nice. Everyone should make friends with the squirrel. But like, be careful. Don't get bit by squirrels.
But I think my dogs will eat squirrels if they come.
Don't bring them in. Don't bring them in your house. For sure. Like, just don't do that. it's not good. So maybe it's a non-animal related hobby. Maybe it's just like driving around once a week with the music up and pretending you're a kid with a brand new driver's license and zero responsibilities. I guess whatever it is that really brings you joy, just try to find some way to make some room for it. That's been hard for me, but I'm doing my best at trying to do that. So make an effort to exchange some of the draining external stimuli in your life with something uplifting. So maybe we need to like take a break from true crime podcasts and listen to an inspirational audiobook. What I used to do when I worked in a corporate environment is I'd try to watch like a TED talk on my lunch break instead of scrolling through like hundreds more social media posts.
Oh my God, you're so much more evolved than I am.
I don't do that now, but I used to do it and it helped then. So it would be great if I could get back to that. These are just reminders for myself. This whole podcast is just to make me, it's just therapy for me.
Just therapy.
That's why we're all here. Practice like actual self-care, and I'm not just talking about like painting your toenails while you're watching Sister Wives, which is another garbage thing I do. But if we take our meds like we're supposed to, make a therapy appointment, get finances in order, clean your house or hire somebody to do it for you. And then also another thing that I do need to do more is try to get my body out into fresh air and move it around.
Yes, I need to do that too.
It makes such a huge difference. Right.
Yeah. I mean, not even like working out, just like going for a walk.
Anything. I am not a runner. I am not an athletic human being by any stretch of the imagination. But just going for a walk, like just taking the dog for a walk is not a bad idea. Or like the kid. They all need fresh air.
Right.
We should go outside more.
We should. We all should.
Another thing too is looking into energetic healing modalities, especially the ones that have a spiritual component like Reiki, acupuncture, yoga, sound therapy, crystal healing. There's also cranial sacral massage, which I've just been kind of learning about, which is really interesting too. A lot of those can really help recharge our depleted batteries.
Right.
Highly recommend. I've tried most of those and I can say that I'm a better person when I do those things.
Yeah, I really should. I had Reiki done once by my cousin, and it was literally so good.
Why? I don't know.
I don't know why I don't do it all the time.
We know that it helps us. We need to do it more. So this is, I'm going to work on this too. And also, this is weird, but I can't say enough about Epsom salt baths. Okay. Like, I know I say this all the time, probably, but so Epsom salt is magnesium, and the majority of people in this country are deficient in magnesium. I'm not a doctor, clearly, but the side effects of magnesium deficiency, if you look them up, and they'll probably relate to something that's going on with your body,
yeah.
right? Like I think every one of us has deficiency when it comes to magnesium, but like talk to your doctor, you know, see what they think.
And I did have a doctor tell me that, mm-hmm. that everybody is deficient in magnesium because my oldest has chronic migraines mm-hmm. and magnesium supplements are one of the treatments, I mm-hmm. guess, or ways to kind of prevent migraines.
Yeah.
Because of magnesium deficiency.
I learned about that in college when I was having migraines okay. too. So yeah, it's definitely a thing. But Epsom salts can absorb the magnesium through your skin. Plus, it's just nice to take a bath sometimes. I don't know if you're a bath person.
I love baths. I took one last night. I take baths more than I take showers.
Oh, it's so good. I just love to soak. That's my favorite. Yes. Read a book in the bath.
Absolutely.
And then the other thing too is just, and I'm trying to get better at this too, nourishing my body with food that actually fuels it instead of garbage. Hydrating. So like drinking actual water. Turns out Pepsi doesn't hydrate you.
Oh my God, I'm the worst water drinker.
Same. I hate water. Oh, here's what I've been drinking. This is called Hint, and it's like, it doesn't have any, it has a flavor to it, but it doesn't have any sugar or anything in it.
Yeah,
it's
but is it like
water.
LaCroix that's like,
no, it's not.
Disgusting.
No, it's not. I don't like LaCroix either. No,
it's fucking gross.
This is just water. It doesn't taste like anything, but you get this like weird essence of a fruit flavor to it.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's not sparkling or anything. It's just plain water.
I don't drink anything but coffee and alcohol.
See, that's, you need some water too. So we need to also take our meds and our vitamins. And then like, I think the most difficult of all these things, but probably the most necessary thing that we need to do is actually rest. Right.
Oh, yeah. I'm terrible at that.
Okay. So one of our friends in our girls group, Kenzie, posted this meme literally just this morning. I saw this after I'd already written this podcast episode. And it says, it has the word hustle at the top. And then it says, it's crossed out. And it says align. And it says, destroy the idea that you have to be constantly working or grinding in order to be successful. Embrace the concept that rest, recovery, and reflection are essential parts of the progress toward a successful and ultimately happy life.
Ugh, yes, that's so good.
Right. It's so good, but it's so hard because we're constantly getting the message that rest is laziness.
Right.
Right. And so rest is, I mean, talk to your doctor anytime you're sick. They'll tell you rest and probably fluids and sometimes meds, right?
Yeah.
Rest is what our bodies need to do in order to heal and our minds too. So we need to change our relationship with what it means to actually be at rest. So whether that's meditation, maybe it's like a daily power nap, sleeping enough, which is hard, especially when you have kids and when you have little kids too, but trying to find a way to sleep well at night when you can sleep makes a huge difference. I looked into sleep hygiene and I've been kind of making some changes around, you know, what my sleep space looks like mm-hmm. and how I interact with that space. That has made a difference in how I'm sleeping and I think how my husband is sleeping too. So sleep hygiene. Google that, man.
I'm going to need to because my bedroom is the last place that gets like cleaned mm-hmm. and pretty.
Yeah.
So like you know what I mean?
It's like, right. No, I totally understand. It's like just shove everything yeah, in there because no one's ever going to look in there.
Right.
But like we're sabotaging our rest, which is, you know, sabotaging our lives. Right. Yeah. So I know that all of that probably sounded like a lot, but honestly, once you start to really kind of figure out what it is that's draining you every day, it becomes so much easier to just kind of avoid some of it and to make some of those changes. And I think once your mind is free of some of that damaging stimuli, you have more clarity around setting attainable and sustainable goals for reclaiming your energy and living a more balanced life, which, I mean, that's what we're all trying to do, right?
Exactly.
Well, we should be trying to do.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think, yeah.
Align. That's what we need to do. We need to align. All right. Thank you again to Emily for joining me today as a guest host.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a ton of fun. We definitely need to do this again, my fellow spiritual nerd.
Yes, it was so fun.
All right. Thank you guys all for tuning in today. Please join us next Wednesday for a brand new episode of Glow Girl. In the meantime, we sure would love it if you would subscribe and share this podcast. And we also love your 5-star reviews. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Glow Girl Pod. And be sure to tune into the rest of our ever-expanding Girls Girls Media multiverse of podcasts. We have Atta Girl on Mondays, the brand new We've Got Issues Girl on Tuesdays, our Mothership Pod, the Girls Girls podcast every Thursday, and the Family Road Trip Trivia podcast on Fridays. Glow Girl is a production of Girls Girls Media, and our music today is by the amazing Breakmaster Cylinder. Shine bright, Glow Girls.